From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. For many youth in our community, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Emerald Valley isn't just a nice to have, it's a must have. It's the only place they can go after school to feel connected, safe, and engaged. And the numbers are pretty impressive. 185 kids attend the club's after school program. Almost 50,000 free meals were served in 2023, and nearly 700 kids have a place to go where they belong to at three different clubhouses. Today on the show, we'll talk with the new executive director of the Boys and Girls Club. For 25 years, the organization has served our community, and they're looking to expand programming and reach even more people in the next 25 years. With budgets and personnel stretched at the school level, organizations like the Boys and Girls Club are becoming more important and more needed than ever. Simply going home after the school day is done is not an option for so many kids in our area. Reasons including unstable housing, lack of food, and other factors make going home simply not the best option. Luckily, in our community, the Boys and Girls Club of Emerald Valley exists to fill the void. Today on the show, we'll talk to the new executive director and is excited about where the club can go into the future. Shelley Williams, executive director for the Boys and Girls Club of Emerald Valley. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me today.
You know, you've been at the club for a while in various positions, you know, but give us that 30,000 foot view of what the club does and its role in the community.
Sure. Well, ultimately, the Boys and Girls Club is here to provide affordable, high-quality after-school programming and summer camps for kids across the city.
Yeah. And that, you know, decades ago, it would be that perhaps the schools would be able to provide that kind of services or something. But obviously, you know, we live in a different era. Talk about just the value of that, because obviously, kids might not have a place to go if it weren't for you.
Right. And so one thing we've been able to do is be able to shift our focus a little bit. And instead of expecting our school districts to provide mm-hmm. these after-school services, that's where us as Boys and Girls Club and a community-based organization is able to be a little bit more nimble.
Okay.
And so that we can partner with school districts to provide services, but ultimately they're at our site or at a school-based site.
Yeah. And then talk about coordination with the schools. I mean, because I imagine that's a big part of what you do as well.
It is. And so we have currently three service locations.
Okay.
We're still at Westmoreland in the Coleman Community Center.
Okay.
And we primarily serve kids from Chavez Elementary, Adams Elementary, and Arts and Technology Academy.
Okay.
Although we take kids from all over if their
sure.
parents can get them there.
Sure.
And then our unique partnerships with the Bethel School District. So we're housed at Prairie Mountain School, and then we're providing van transportation from all of the local elementary schools out in the Bethel area
okay.
to pick up kids and take them to the school site. So it's a unique partnership agreement where Bethel School District saw the value of what we could provide, but they knew they couldn't do it alone. And
yeah.
so we come in with our trained providers, and they give us the amazing space and access to kiddos after school.
Give us kind of an idea of the numbers, how many kids you serve, you know, your staff levels, kind of give us the facts and figures about the club.
Sure. So we currently are really proud to have served over 685 kids in 2023.
Wow.
And we're looking to continue to grow that number as we seek additional partnership opportunities at school-based sites and then other opportunities that might pop up in the coming year to serve kids and teens throughout Eugene and Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really pleased about our growth over the last 4.5 years. We've been at Westmoreland for nearly 25 years.
Sure.
And since I came on in 2020, we've had a vision with our board of directors to say, how do we serve the kids who need us most? Where are they at and how can we go to them?
Hmm.
And so we're able to serve roughly about 210 kids on average per day across our three service locations.
Okay.
And that number goes up in the summertime. So we'll be able to run our summer camp programs for extended hours at those locations as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What I think is interesting too, and we talked about this a little bit as we started about collaboration, but it seems like, you know, that is becoming more and more important is the idea that, you know, whether it's private businesses kicking in funding or resources, it's nonprofits stepping up and delivering services, it's municipalities providing. I mean, it just seems like, you know, to kind of borrow an off-used phrase, it takes a village, but that's really the way that the world works these days, isn't it? Especially in what you do.
It's everything for us. I mean, the only way we've had the amount of success that we've been able to achieve in the last 4 to 5 years is because of partnerships. And I'll just give you a little story, an example of a unique partnership that we just went through this process. So we're in the Coleman Community Center, which is a City of Eugene-owned building. Mm-hmm. And we said, it is getting hotter and hotter every single summer. We need air conditioning that's for our kids to be able to serve them all day, 8 a.m. to 5:30, Monday through Friday in the summertime. And as wildfires continue to crop up, we saw the urgent need for investment in that building. And the City of Eugene stepped up and said, yes, we will put in the infrastructure for a brand new state-of-the-art heating and cooling system. But unfortunately, that means you guys got to get out of the building for 3 to 4 months. So, I mean, what are you going to do? So we're looking around saying, well, we need to stay near Cesar Chavez. We need to be near Adams Elementary. Mm-hmm. Where can we go Monday through Friday, all day, every day? Yeah. And so fortunately, Faith Center Church right there on the corner of 13th and Polk was able to host us from January all the way through April while that heating system was being done. So they were a great faith-based partner to say, we're not using our space as often as we like Monday through Friday. Would you guys be able to be there? And for us, we couldn't find any better place. We needed a space that was nearby, could host us Monday through Friday. It's kid-centric, and they had those spaces available in their children's ministry. And at the same time, when we had moved out, we wanted to be able to bring the kids back to a refreshed clubhouse when we came back in April. But I'm sorry, air conditioning in April is not that exciting for kiddos.
Sure.
They'll be thrilled later in the summer.
Yeah.
And so through a great partnership with the Rotary Club of Eugene, we sought an investment to be able to put in some new special refreshes into the clubhouse. And so what started initially is a $4,000 investment quickly became a $14,000 investment from the Rotary Club to say, we're going to give you guys a new bumper pool table, a brand new mural wall, some new furniture to refresh the space. And it was just a beautiful day when we were able to bring those kids back and they could see their brand new facility. And it looks like a building that they deserve.
It's interesting, as I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking a lot of this, I imagine, happened because there is kind of this, I would say, a pretty good pipeline of communication amongst nonprofits, faith-based organizations, the city, because chances are you wouldn't be able to find that space if you weren't able to communicate with partners and say, this is a need. Talk a little bit about that, just that kind of, you know, Eugene is both a big town and a small town, but certainly in the nonprofit community that I've always felt that there's this sort of great sort of communication network to help with a need.
In my experience, I found people are eager and willing to help. They want to be asked. They want to find ways to give back and invest in their community in a really proactive upstream way, but sometimes they don't necessarily know how to. And so as I've moved into this role at Boys and Girls Club, I've been able to lean into some of my personal connections, but also my professional network to say, how can we work together? And I found that people have the heart, but they just need to be asked. And so the more that I can find ways to plug in a faith-based organization, whether through just their facility rental or plug in a service club like Rotary, they want to find ways to help. But sometimes it just takes a small, nimble organization like ourselves to be able to plug them in.
Sure. Let me reintroduce you to our audience. We're talking with Shelley Williams. She's the executive director for the Boys and Girls Club of Emerald Valley. You know, kind of doing some research before we were talking, I was looking at your website, and I know that you feature, you know, arts education and stuff. And unfortunately, arts sometimes is one of those programs that's kind of easy to drop in schools and whatnot. It's not STEM or something like that. But talk about how important that is in what you do for the kiddos.
So our programs really lean into youth voice and choice. Mm-hmm. Kids are given a lot of things that they have to do through their school day. Mm-hmm. And by the time they reach us in the afternoon, they're ready to express themselves in other ways. And so we really pride ourselves that our programs allow kids to choose what they're feeling that very day and lean into their own interests, but also expand their horizons. And one of the ways we do that is through, you know, opportunities to arts.
Okay.
We have a dedicated art room at our clubhouses where kids every single day have a choice of that programming. That could be, you know, finger painting one day, it could be leaning into sketching, it could be clay sculpting. There's a lot of different programs that we can run, and our trained youth development professionals have built those programs just for those kids.
Yeah.
And then those other days, our kids are feeling a little bit more high energy and active. And so we have opportunities in our gym to be able to run around and play games and be led through activities. And so we make sure that there's a variety of choices that kids can choose from any given day.
Yeah. I would imagine, actually, I know the answer, but I want to talk to you about this is, you know, COVID was such a historic challenge for so many organizations. And I imagine, you know, take us through kind of, you know, how the Boys and Girls Club, maybe not so much what you had to do during COVID, but just sort of coming out of it and kind of reestablishing, you know, obviously a physical presence, but also kind of reestablishing sort of that connectivity with kids who had been, you know, kind of sequestered at home for so much.
Well, I think what makes us a little bit unique is that I spoke to a little bit how we're nimble and small. And one thing we were able to do is quickly pivot. So we continue to serve kids throughout the entire pandemic, which is something I'm really proud of. We were able to offer kids an opportunity to come together in the club safely with distancing and masks, but we provided them a space to do their online schooling in the morning and in the afternoon, we continued to offer what a traditional Boys and Girls Club would offer, making sure there's access to arts and gym and learning lab and different opportunities for STEM and science. So the good news is that we still had kids with us through that whole time, but we did see a spike in kids just feeling a sense of loneliness, a sense of loss, some increased behaviors at time when they couldn't quite cope with what's going on around them.
Yeah.
And so one of the things we really leaned into is our partnerships with Looking Glass, saying, how can we give kids access to the mental health supports that they really need?
Okay.
And so through some grant funding and partnership, we now have a licensed trained therapist who comes 2 days a week and is embedded in our staff. So they wear our Boys and Girls Club shirt, they're part of our team, and they can help identify kids that maybe need a little bit more intensive one-on-one support so they can work on some of those things that they've experienced and some of the trauma that they may have been dealing with in the past. So all that to say, I mean, kids are resilient.
Sure.
They're doing well. They've got back into a normal rhythm of school. They're able to come to us after school, and we're just seeing kids be able to express themselves in really healthy and positive ways. Even though we still have a long way to go, I see progress every single day.
You know, so much of our community is impacted by perhaps the biggest issue of our community, which is housing instability. And I kind of wanted to sort of ask you, how does that impact your organization? Because I would imagine that there is a group of kids that you serve who don't have that kind of housing stability.
That's true. What we're able to do is we're able to provide our after school and summer camp programs at a very, very low rate for families. We're not asking families for the full market rate of what it actually costs us to run. So ultimately, we've got kids who are coming to us from a variety of circumstances. Those who are doing very well at home and others who might have a lot of struggles or transitions in their life.
Sure.
And so we do see that kids are sometimes in places where they might be sleeping in a car one night, they might have be couch surfing for a bit. But the one thing is that we're open almost every day throughout the entire year. So we're a really stable place that they can be. One thing that we continue to do is provide transportation services, and that's helped continue to keep kids in school, is knowing that if they have a place that they can be after school and we can get them from their elementary school or their middle school to us, there's a better chance that, one, they're getting fed and that hot supper after school, and that could be their last meal before they come back to school the next day for breakfast.
Yeah.
So we know providing those wraparound services of after school care and summer camp keeps kids better connected to some of the supports they receive in school, even if they have a lot of transition in their life.
Yeah. Expand upon sort of the education services that you provide, you know, and you even talk about on your website, education and also career development. Talk about that program and how important that is for what you're doing.
Sure. So one of the things we're able to work with kids on is, one, we're always infusing just different opportunities for learning in there. So no matter what option they choose in their club, we are hiding the vegetables in the spaghetti sauce. We're always, we're keeping the fun alive at the club, but we're infusing those opportunities for kids to learn and grow in ways.
Sure.
And so a very direct way, we always have homework help and tutoring available every day after school. So we have our trained youth development professionals who work with kids to get caught up on their assignments, give them the extra help they need to get their homework done and turned in. And then more indirectly, we've got these opportunities. One story that comes to mind is we've got an amazing staff member named Alvin who leads our learning center. And he came fully dressed as Willy Wonka, and he did a full demonstration with dry ice and was really walking kids through this science experiment, and kids were oohing and aahing over this magical experience, but he was ultimately teaching them throughout. And so no matter whether we're working with kids directly on getting their academics and their schoolwork done, we're always infusing learning at the same time.
Reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Shelley Williams. She's the executive director for the Boys and Girls Club of Emerald Valley. You know, I've had the benefit of being able to talk to a lot of nonprofit leaders, and I've always fascinated because, you know, as the executive director, which would be analogous to the CEO of a company, you know, a lot of times business people, you know, they may only have a couple of service lines. They're very important to their business. But boy, an organization like yours, if you think about it, has so many sort of services that you're providing. Talk about sort of your management philosophy on how to get it all done, because you are a business leader, even though, you know, you're mission driven versus profit driven.
Well, I mean, we always just have to keep our mission first. And so we need to make sure that we are serving the kids who need us most. And so every single decision that we're making through our board of directors, all the way down to our staff, we're looking to say, how can we serve kids who need us in the best way? So ultimately, we have to keep that at our forefront.
Sure.
So when it comes to decision making about what are we going to ask families to pay for the services and how much are we going to fundraise, we have to be able to talk to our constituents. We talk to our families. What are they able to afford? What is the reality of their budgets right now? So knowing that we've got families that are part of our stakeholders, we're here to help kids thrive. And so throughout all of that, it's listening to our staff. They're the ones boots on the ground working with these kids day in and day out. So yes, I can sit at the high end with my board trying to make our best decisions, but ultimately I have to be speaking to our youth development professionals who are really meeting the needs of these kids every single day.
I'm curious, what's some of the feedback that those people you were just talking about get from the kids they serve? I imagine, you know, kids are very honest, and I imagine, you know, they give you a lot of, or they give them a lot of feedback, both positive and negative, about their experience.
And one of the ways we try to do that is through, you know, asking kids, whether through formal surveying or just informal pulse checks, we're seeing that, you know, maybe the things that we were offering historically in our games room really weren't the interest of our kids any longer. And so we've moved from having pool tables with big pool cues and getting rid of those to moving to more having Dungeons and Dragons, card games, different, more modern things that are happening that our young youth development professionals are able to lead with our kiddos. So we're meeting their interests and meeting where they're at. So those are very superficial, you know, easy changes we're able to make. But then there's things that are deeper, like talking about, you know, some of the things we're seeing with kids and the struggles and the traumas they're experiencing. Those are some of the themes that keep popping up from our staff saying, well, I'm not trained fully in this. How can I be better equipped to meet the needs of these kiddos, knowing that some of our staff are fresh out of high school, some of them are in college. We have, you know, a number of individuals who work with the kids, but in my role, it's my responsibility to find the supports that our staff need to feel better equipped to work with these kids.
Well, and you know, we talked about one of the big crises in our community of unstable housing, but obviously another one is mental health. And you know, you just talked a little bit, but sort of expand that a little bit about, you know, it obviously, you know, mental health doesn't stop at age 18. It goes much lower. And kind of, you know, what have you seen, and what are ways in which you can help the kids who are displaying those kind of symptoms?
Well, the thing I think we do the best at is a sense of belonging. We give kids a place to be themselves. We work with these kids all the way from first grade through 12th grade, and we have this really unique opportunity to come alongside kids and get to know them in a really intimate way, mm-hmm. knowing that we know when their struggles at home. Sometimes we know when dogs pass away. We know when their graduations are. Mm-hmm. We are able to attend their basketball games, be at their band concerts. And that's something that we will continue doing, making sure that our youth development professionals can be fully a part of these kids' life if the family chooses them to be. We're not direct mentors sure. in any way, but our staff love being there for kids. And so I think the more we can give kids a place to belong and a place they can be themselves and you have a little fun together, the more they're going to feel more connected with their peers mm-hmm. and then connected with really amazing, caring adults who are coming into their life.
So what do you think that the near future looks like? I don't know if you have expansion plans, but in ways in which you can offer more services, what's your grand vision looking out maybe 3 to 5 years or something like that?
We really are looking to meet the need and the demand in this community. There is just a lack of infrastructure for after school programming, period, yeah. much less if you can choose to afford it or not.
Sure.
And so because of our price point and that we don't, like I said, we don't put that full cost on families, we have to grow and scale a little bit slower
okay.
Than maybe that we want to. Because for every single new child that we serve, I have to go out and raise about $2,000 for every kid that enters our program. And so with that, we'll grow slowly and steadily, but we're always looking for partnership opportunities to be in pockets of town that are really more underserved where mm-hmm. the kids are. And so that could be a school, that could be a building. We're a little bit like the circus. Wherever we have a building, we can pop right up pretty quickly. So on the horizon, we are looking to scale to future satellite sites with an emphasis in growing and developing a stronger tween and teen programming. Mm. And so that will be able to have its own building someday so that we could have up to 100 to 125, 12 to 18 year olds have their own space that they can call their own would be my big dream to happen okay. one day.
Okay. You know, my last question for you is simply this, you know, kind of what's your one big message you want the community to know about the club?
The biggest thing is just that we are different in the sense that we need every single after-school provider to keep doing their work. We're mm-hmm. not in competition. We mm. need the YMCA to keep doing their work. We need Willamette and Lane to keep doing their work. But we are here as a Boys and Girls Club to meet the needs for families that really might not be able to afford those services.
Well, Shelley Williams, the Executive Director for the Boys and Girls Club of Emerald Valley, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
That's our show for today. In case you missed any of this or other episodes of Oregon on the Record, all the shows are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, as summer begins, many people might be thinking about trying out backpacking for the very first time, and you'll hear from an expert on how to get started. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.